A few years ago, if you had asked me if I would ever be in a church service where my dad was singing, I'd say no. But prayer works. And God has allowed us to worship and serve the Lord together as a family for the last several years, and I thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for it. We sing together in a quartet when we're not handicapped. Somebody's always sick. I don't just mean one person either. I mean somebody's. We're in Italy or something. Anyway, thank you for your patience and for all your prayers and for your encouraging phone calls. Brother Vic, I appreciate that. Brother Vic, I promised Brother Vic that I wasn't going to preach long tonight. I said I'm just going to come up and I'm going to give Winston Churchill's speech. Never give up. Let's pray. But I can't do that. He didn't believe me. My wife didn't believe me. Nobody believed me. I can't do that. I was thinking today that it has been about 11 years ago since I surrendered to preach. And about 11 years ago, and I haven't been preaching every Sunday or on any kind of a regular basis for that long, but I surrendered to preach 11 years ago, and time flies. And I was thinking also about a little boy that I remember when I was up at college training to go into the ministry, and a little boy was about 4 years old, and he rode the bus route that I worked on, and a couple of the girls or boys on the bus were getting baptized that morning. And so we took him in to watch, like we do here. We brought the little kids in to watch everybody else get baptized so they could learn what was going on and see that it wasn't anything to be afraid of or anything like that. And so we brought him in, and he's four. And Temple Baptist Church has 2,000 or 3,000 members. And we were sitting in the very back of the old auditorium, in the very back under the balcony. And it was dark where they turned the lights down so everybody could see. And there were several people to be baptized that morning. And that's the way it was many times on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night for that matter, or a Wednesday night. They were always baptizing somebody. People were getting saved there off the church buses and all of that. It was great, great to see that. And so there were several getting baptized. And every time the Pastor Sexton would say, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And then everybody would say amen. Well, the little boy, the little four-year-old boy, caught on that everybody was saying amen. And so he baptized somebody, and everybody said amen, and he said amen. The little four-year-old boy in the back, he'd never been in the big church service at all. People would turn around and look at him. And then he caught on to Pastor Sexton saying, raised to walk in newness of life. And so that last one, he came up out of the water, and Pastor Sexton said, raised to walk in newness of life. And that boy stood up, he said, raised to walk, amen, just like that. He really entered into the service, you know. And I pray that we'll be able to do that tonight, that we'll be able to enter into the service and give ourselves to this message that God's laid on our hearts. And it's there in Hebrews chapter number 4. Verse number 14. Sometimes kids get it and we don't. We don't have a clue. We adults. It just goes right over our heads. He got it. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 14. The Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I'd like for you to mark two words there in verse 16. Come boldly. Come boldly. I'd like to preach on that subject tonight. Come boldly. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to open your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll fill me with thy spirit. And Lord, I pray that you'll meet with us in a special way. We know that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And Lord, I pray that you'll come down even now. And Lord, speak to our hearts. And then Lord, help us to be obedient. And Lord, I pray that you'll do a great work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Come boldly. E.M. Bounds said, he wrote a book, he wrote several books actually on prayer, and he said that all of our failures are prayer failures. All of our failures are prayer failures. Anything we do that we don't bathe in prayer, it's a failure, a prayer failure. Anytime we fail and we haven't prayed about it, we haven't prayed about it. That's why we fail. That was his point. Anytime we fail, it's because we haven't prayed hard enough for it. We haven't spent time in prayer. And the Bible says here, come boldly under the throne of grace. And he says, let us, therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace. Let us. Who's us? We're us. Us, those who have professed the name of Jesus Christ, those who have been blood-bought and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's us. That's us. He talks, the writer of Hebrews talks in the first part of this chapter, he talks about some that heard the word preached, but it didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. But here, at the end of the chapter, he's talking about us who have heard the word preached, and it was mixed with faith, and we have accepted Jesus as our Savior. So he's talking to us. And he says, let us, therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace. And the word come, it means to do it over and over and over and over and over again. Not just something that we just do once a week or once a month or that we just do on special occasions. No, over and over and over again, God says, come, 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 come. Come, come to the throne of grace. And then he says boldly. That means open and plain, no reservations. Feel free to speak to the Lord. Come boldly, over and over again. Anytime you want, come boldly, over and over and over again, and just open your heart up to the Lord. Just open your heart up to the Lord. Make it plain. That word boldly is translated many other times in the New Testament, and it's translated plain in many different times, many different verses. Speak plainly, of frankness. Now, that doesn't mean that we should go to the Lord without reverence. Or without fear, we ought to have a reverential fear for the Lord. But the Bible says in James 5:16 that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah is who he's talking about there in James, and he came boldly to the throne of grace. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and then that it would rain, and then he said, go out. And I don't remember how many times, seven times I think he went out and sent the servant out, and said, see if it's about to rain. And he sat there with his head between his knees, sitting there on the ground waiting for it to rain. And the servant went and came back. Nope, not raining. Okay, go again. Nope, not raining yet. Okay, go again. And finally he came back and he said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, you better get up. It's fixing to rain. That's translated loosely. It's fixing to rain. And he said, go. He told Ahab, you better get back to the palace. You're going to get wet. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man who comes boldly before the throne of grace, that avails much. That avails much. Now, we shouldn't barge in, but we should come boldly. Charles Spurgeon once said that prayer pulls the rope down below, and the great bells ring above in the ears of God. Some scarcely stir the bell, for they pray so languidly or weakly, not strong, in other words. Others give only an occasional jerk at the rope. But he who communicates with heaven is the man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all his might. And the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. Number one, because we have a high priest. Number one, we have a high priest. The Bible says, look at it there in verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, not just a high priest, a great high priest. Look over a couple of chapters in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. The Bible says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For us, remember, us, that's those that have heard the word and mixed with faith, and we're saved. And so Jesus Christ went in, and with his own blood, he obtained eternal redemption. We have a great high priest. We have a great high priest. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We have a great high priest. And this high priest of ours inspires steadfastness. Back in verse 14 of chapter 4, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. let us hold fast our profession. He inspires steadfastness. Be steadfast. He says, hold fast your profession. Now, that means don't let it go. Don't let it go. Don't let go of your profession. Don't turn your back on it. Now, there is a false doctrine that I need to go over here, and it's the perseverance of the saints. And you may have heard of it, but basically it means that all of us who are Christians, we're going to persevere to the end. If we just hold out, if we just do good enough, you know, if we just hold out and hold on, and if we just endure to the end, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach the perseverance of the saints. The Bible teaches the preservation of the saints. And in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 6, the Bible says that we are kept. Chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to get it right. 1 Peter 1, 5. The Bible says that we are kept by the power of God. You see, the emphasis is all on Christ. It's all on the Lord. It's not on us. Perseverance of the saints means that I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can't. I know I can't. I know that I have to be kept by the power of God. So he's not talking about the perseverance of the saints here. He's saying, hold fast your profession. You don't need to turn your back on this. And he's speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to the Jews here who are used to going to their high priest and having their high priest go into the Holy of Holies and offer the blood, sprinkling it on the mercy seat, having to do that to atone for their sins once a year. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't go back to that. We have a great high priest. And he inspires steadfastness. You don't need to turn your back on that. Hold fast to your profession. No need to go back. And not only does our high priest inspire steadfastness, but he's our incarnate Savior. He's our incarnate Savior. Look in verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. He's our incarnate Savior. He's God in the flesh. He is fully God and fully man, yet without sin. Isn't that good? He is fully God and fully man, yet without sin. And he's been through everything we've been through. He's been tempted, just like we've been tempted. The song that Miss Jody and Faith sing, he knows just what you're going through and what the future holds, right? Because Jesus lives, there is hope. I think I got the words right. I hope I did. But he knows just what you're going through. He's been tempted in all points, like as we are. But there's just one difference. Yet without sin. Yet without sin. He's a great high priest. He's our incarnate Savior. You know, he wasn't tempted to see if he would sin or to see if he could sin. He was tempted to show that he can't, to show that he's perfect. That's why he was tempted. They weren't trying to figure out if he was going to sin or anything like that. They were going to show off. They were going to show off that he was sinless. Yet without sin. Yet without sin. You see, he's the virgin-born Son of God. He had to be born of a virgin, because if he wasn't born of a virgin, then they couldn't have put those three little words there at the end of verse 15, yet without sin. If he hadn't have been born of a virgin, if he had been born just like any other person, then he would be with sin, yet with sin, yet with sin. Not yet without sin, yet with sin. He wouldn't be the Savior. He wouldn't be able to go in and with his own blood offer for our eternal redemption, like it says in Hebrews chapter 9. No, he wouldn't be such a great high priest then. But he's a great high priest because he's the virgin-born Son of God. And we can come boldly before the throne of grace because we have a great high priest. We have a great high priest. And he inspires steadfastness. And he is our incarnate Savior. And this great high priest, through his blood, gives us access to, number two, heaven's palace. We have access to heaven's palace. Number one, we have a great high priest. Number two, heaven's palace. Look at it in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Where's a throne? It's in a palace. It's in a palace. And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is sitting on this throne. And he's sitting there and he says, come boldly. Why can I come boldly? Because you have a great high priest. And he offered his blood and he's given you access to heaven's palace. Number one, it's the throne of God. The throne of God. It's not the throne of Queen Elizabeth or Prince Charles or anybody else. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of all gods. He is the King and we're going to go and worship at his throne. We're going to come boldly before his throne, before the throne of grace, before the throne of God. The Bible says, in the beginning, God, he is the creator, he's our father, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is not a God, he is the God. Back in 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse 39, this is right after Elijah had the showdown on Mount Carmel. And all those prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves, they had been cutting themselves and bleeding all over the place, and nothing ever happened, and Elijah made fun of them. He said, maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's sleeping. I don't know. Try louder. Maybe he'll hear you next time. And he made fun of them, mocked them all day long, and nothing happened. And then Elijah prayed, just a short prayer, and fire came down and licked up the altar and all the wood and all the water and all of it. And the people said, the Lord, he is a God. No. They said, the Lord, he is the God. That's what the Bible says. He is the God. Baal, forget that guy. He's not the God. Jehovah is the God. And he says, come boldly before the throne of grace. It's the throne of God. Number two, it's the throne of grace. Right there, it's the throne of grace. By the way, it is a throne. It is a throne. And many things are happening now that we think, oh, what is going on? Who is in control of this thing? God. He's still on his throne. He's still there. He's still sitting on his throne. He's still got everything under control. Like Brother Ray preached on Sunday morning, God is still sovereign. He's got it all under control. And it's the throne of God. It's also the throne of grace. It's the throne of grace. I know I preached a little bit on grace on Sunday night, but that's all right. We need to hear it. Grace. I would much rather preach on grace. Grace. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's grace. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says there, again, I'm going to paraphrase it, but it says that it's really not a strange thing for somebody to die for a good person. I mean, if there was some really great person, you know, who somebody needed to die for, there would be a lot of people lining up to die for him, you know. But we're talking about wicked people, enemies of God. And God said, all right, I'll die for you. Jesus said, okay. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That ought to burn inside of our hearts. If that burns inside of our hearts, then it won't be hard for us to go out there and tell others about what he's done for us. It won't be hard. But notice, it's a throne of grace, not the throne of the law, but the throne of grace. He says, come boldly before the throne of grace, or come boldly unto the throne of grace. And again, Charles Spurgeon says here that if it's a throne of grace, then the faults of my prayer will be overlooked. Isn't that good? God's not going to critique what I say to him. Again, we're not going to barge in, and we're not going to be irreverent, and we're not going to be rude, and we're not going to be disrespectful at all, but we're going to come boldly before the throne of grace. And if we don't know exactly what to say, we don't know exactly how to pray, that's all right. It's the throne of grace. It's not the throne of the law. It's the throne of grace. And God says, come boldly and pray. And if it's a throne of grace, then the faults of the petitioner himself shall not prevent the success of his prayer. Now, we ought to pray and ask God to forgive us for our sins. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he'll be able to hear us, and he'll be able to answer our prayers. But we're still a sinner, saved by grace. Saved by grace. Still a sinner. And our faults, and the fact that we're a sinner, that doesn't hinder our prayers. That's not going to prevent the success of our prayers, because we've just knelt at the throne of grace. Grace. Not the law. Hey, that's good, by the way. Amen. That's good. We're going to kneel at the throne of grace. Do you understand that? Do you understand how wicked you really are? Do you understand how wicked I really am? Yes. Thank you, Brother Sam. Yes, I'm wicked. But God can still hear my prayers. Because it's the throne of grace. I can go to him and I can say, God, I've sinned. And he'll say, I know you're forgiven. Because it's the throne of grace. The faults of the petitioner. The faults of the petitioner himself should not prevent the success of his prayer. I was telling my wife that I shouldn't have read a sermon by Charles Spurgeon on the same subject that I was preaching on, because he said everything that I want to say, but way better. And so you'll find several of his quotes in here. So the faults of our prayer won't be overlooked, the faults of the petitioner himself won't be overlooked, and the desires of the pleader will be interpreted. In other words, God's going to straighten it all out. Somewhere between my lips or my heart and the throne of grace, it's going to get all worked out. You ever been going through something? And you don't even know how to say it. You don't even know how you say it. You just say, oh God. You ever been there? God translates that. The Holy Spirit translates it. Oh God. God help us. You know? Sometimes I find myself just saying, And I don't even know what means, but God does. Because it's the throne of grace. It's the throne of grace. Oh God, help us. He knows just what we need. Because it's the throne of grace. So he says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Because we have a great high priest. And he's given us access. He's given us access to heaven's palace. The brilliant scientist, Sir Isaac Newton, said that he could take his telescope and look millions and millions of miles into space. Then he added, but when I lay it aside, go into my room, shut the door, and get down on my knees in earnest prayer, I see more of heaven and feel closer to the Lord than if I were assisted by all the telescopes on earth. We have access to heaven's palace. Number three. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, because we have a great high priest who has given us access to heaven's palace, and there we'll find help promised. Help promised. Look at it there again in verse 16. Come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's help promised right there. Come, and you'll find help. You'll find mercy, and you'll find grace. He actually says you'll obtain mercy. You can take it. You'll obtain it. You just go to the throne of grace, and you'll find mercy there. It's right there. You just have to take it. You just have to take it. And he says you'll find grace to help in time of need. Are you looking for help? Have you looked all over the place? A lot of times when I need help or I've got some kind of a problem, before I get on my knees, I get on my phone. Dad, what should I do? I call my friends. What should I do? Oh, I'm not going to find grace to help in time of need there. If I go to the throne of grace boldly and speak freely, I can feel free to just lay it all out on the altar right there at the throne of grace. And God says, you'll obtain mercy and you'll find grace. That's the reward. That's the reward. You'll obtain mercy and find grace. Mercy's there waiting for us to take it. But you'll find saving grace and living grace. You'll find it right there at the throne of grace. There's just one requirement. You have to come boldly. You have to come boldly. Look at it. It says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. In other words, you may obtain it and you may not. If you come, you'll obtain it. If you don't come, you won't. If you come, you'll find grace. If you don't come, you won't. That's pretty simple. Right? That's just one requirement. You don't have to stand on your head and pray. You don't have to say so many Hail Marys and, you know, Hail Mary full of grace, Notre Dame's in second place. You don't have to say any of that. They're not even in second place anymore. Oh, just one requirement. Come boldly. Come boldly. That's it. Just come over and over and over and over and over again to the throne of grace and feel free to speak your mind, feel free to give your problems to the Lord, and you'll obtain mercy and you'll find grace. That's the requirement. Here's the reason to help in time of need. Could be help for you, could be help for somebody else, but you'll find grace to help in time of need. That's the reward. You'll obtain mercy and you'll find grace, and the requirement is if you come boldly, and the reason is so you can help somebody. So you can help in time of need. You'll find grace to help in time of need. We need help, don't we? I do. I mean, we just read a big list of prayer requests. People robbed and murdered. People with high blood pressure. People with cancer. people maybe in the hospital about to die, in a coma about to die, people finding their loved ones dead, people getting test results back, all of these people going through things, broken homes, you know, wayward children, all of it, financial struggles. We need help. We need help. You got husbands and wives maybe living in the same home but not really living together. You've got men and women looking for grace to help in time of need in a bottle. In a bottle. You find men sitting at the computer filling their minds with unimaginable garbage, wickedness, and filth, just looking for grace, looking for grace. But wait a minute. We know where that's found. It's not found on the computer. It's not found in a bottle. It's not found in a bar. It's not found anywhere else but at the throne of grace. And if we come boldly before the throne of grace, we'll find grace to help in time of need. You know, you'll do more for others by talking to God about them than by talking to them about God. You'll do more for others by talking to God about them than by talking to them about God. You could quote Scripture till you're blue in the face to some people. You could say, here's the right thing, this is what you ought to do, and if you don't do this, you're not going to be pleasing to the Lord, and you need to do this. If you want to fix what's wrong in your life, then here's the Bible to back it up. And many times they'll say, all right, thank you, see you. But if you talk to God about them, then God can get a hold of them a whole lot better than you can, and a whole lot better than I can. God can get a hold of you. God can get a hold of them. You'll do more for others by talking to God about them than by talking to them about God. You see, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, because we have a great high priest, and he's given us access to heaven's palace. And there, only there, will you find help promised. Find grace to help in time of need. There are many things we ought to pray for. We need to bombard heaven with our requests. Bombard heaven. We live in a city that needs the Lord. On every corner you find a bar or an adult bookstore or something. Wickedness all over the place. I drive around in it all day long. I see it. Wickedness everywhere. Tampa needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to come boldly before the throne of grace and pray for our city. We ought to come boldly before the throne of grace and pray for our pastor and his family. We ought to come boldly before the throne of grace and pray for our children, pray for our parents. We ought to come boldly before the throne of grace and pray for our friends and our loved ones, saved or unsaved. We ought to come boldly before the throne of grace and pray for them. A lot of times we get caught up in believing that God can, and that's as far as we go. You know, we believe God can. God can do anything. I believe God can do anything, you know. With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. I believe God can do it. But we don't believe God will. We don't believe God will. And we've got to move past the idea that God can and move into the faith that God will. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. God can heal you. Yeah, he can. God will, maybe. I mean, you know, if it's his will. I'm stepping on my own toes there. Wait a minute. Let me back up. We've got to believe that God will. He's the only one that can do it. The only one. So let us, therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace. Because we have a great high priest who's given us access to heaven's palace, and we'll find help promised. One more story and I'll be done. Alexander the Great had a man in his kingdom who asked of him some monetary help. And the emperor told him to go to the treasury and obtain what he needed. So when he asked, the sum seemed so large that the treasurer was astonished and went to Alexander to confirm it. Alexander is said to have told him to honor the request and give him what was needed. And he explained, this man has paid me a singular honor. By the bigness of his request, he has shown his idea of my wealth and my generosity, and something more gratifying, He takes me at my word. Let us, therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace, because we have a great high priest. And he inspires steadfastness. He's the incarnate Savior. And he gives us access to heaven's palace. And there, we'll find help promised. We'll find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Lord, thank you for your invitation to come boldly before the throne of grace. And Lord, whatever is going on in the hearts and in the lives of the people in this room and in our church, Lord, I pray that all of us will come boldly tonight before the throne of grace. And Lord, I pray that we'll obtain mercy and that we'll find grace to help in time of need. Lord, there are so many that are hurting, so many requests. And God, we know that you've got all the answers. Lord, I pray that you'll do a great work tonight in our midst. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, will you stand with me?